Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Good afternoon, welcome to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. And you're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, but how did you get on in that monsoon yesterday?
I got wet.
Where were you?
I was mostly in Tenterton.
Where was the other half of you then? Your legs were
in St. Michael's.
St. Michael's? Is that near?
It's near Tenterton.
St. Michel?
Yeah.
Well, I went to... I was looking for parking and it bucketed
down.
Did
you find him?
Parking. There's something you eat, isn't it, for tea?
No, it's tiffin.
Parking. It could be. Oh,
isn't that just incredibly typical of you? Isn't that just so typical? Anything, absolutely anything you mention has a food-related connotation.
Funny you should say that, Paul.
And a connotation's a bun.
Look what I've got to have.
Oh, look, sweeties.
No, they're Kentish cob nuts.
Oh, are they?
From Potash Farm. And they're covered in... Wait till Teresa sees these, our lovely guest, Teresa Scott. We won't let David Robert have any. Potash Farm... cob nuts, and they're dipped in original Ghana milk chocolate. But what I was saying about the rain was, it was coming down, cats and dogs. I have to go a bit cockney for this. Raining down.
Cats and dogs, really. Yeah. Down the apples and pears, was it? Was it really?
And dogs. Yeah. And I got out, I went to Castle Street, just near your gaff, Fruitworks.
Yeah.
Where the fruit bats live. And Fruit Bowl Media and everything else.
They're today's sponsor.
Are they?
Yeah, Fruit Bowl Media.
That's nice of them. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you.
They're today's show sponsor, Fruit Bowl Media.
Hello, Tony.
The web design agency over there at Fruitworks in Canterbury.
Hello, George. Mm. So what I did was, I put my umbrella up first.
As you do.
Mm-hmm. Outside my
As you
car.
Do.
Yeah. Couldn't, you know, I was all dressed up to the nines.
Really?
And then, made a change. And
then, I was going to say, was it a special occasion?
And then because of the Ringo, you know you keep telling me to get the Ringo out.
Yeah.
Well, it never worked. You'll have to give me a lesson because I can never get the Wi-Fi and it just doesn't happen.
Ring.
So I have to go and ring, yeah.
Ring.
But what do I do? I got my credit card out of my purse. Be prepared. Then I got, you're listening, listener. Then I got my credit card.
Now we've fallen asleep with
Then
boredom.
I got my mobile phone so I can ring Ringo because the app that you told me worked fabulously didn't work because there's no Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And as I'm holding the umbrella up, trying to get out of the car, the rain was dripping off, running down my arm and soaking my iPhone. So, I couldn't do it, Paul Andrews.
Really? But any sane person would have sat in their car and used their phone.
No, because I can't get the number for Ringo. I have to go over to the machine to read it out. I was in the
Any sane
Castle
person
Street.
Would register for an account, register their credit card with Ringo, and put the phone number in their phone. And then, when it's raining, snowing, or blowing a gale, or a Hurricane Bertha has just arrived in your car park, you sit in the car and you ring Ringo and you go, I'd like to park here for an hour, please.
I think you'll find, Mr. Andrews, that I am registered with
So you didn't
Ringo.
Need to do any of that,
No,
then?
Because then it says... Which car park are you in? And I didn't know where I was. Castle Street.
Why would you know where you are?
you need four digits for that.
Why would you know where you are? I mean, that's just not something that's humanly plausible, is it,
normally,
really? Why would I know where I am?
Normally, I'm in Coleman's Meadow.
Though she couldn't find a code for planet Mars anywhere.
Normally, I'm in Coleman's Meadow, so I can get Go Vicinity's Wi-Fi for free. But I went to Castle.
Yeah.
One.
Okay,
isn't that the one that the council's selling off?
No, Rosemary Lane.
Don't call me Rosemary.
Rosemary Lane car park is on it.
Well, I'm doing a rant tomorrow in the Canterbury Times.
So about, don't even get me started on that.
About the council.
Don't get me started on that.
And the you know the revival shop, the lovely revival shop there.
Debbie Barwick. Yeah.
She was helping me with my rant.
Yep.
And she says that Canterbury City Council, in our opinion, are going to ruin, we're closing all the car parks, building houses.
446 car parking spaces they've got rid of.
Meanwhile, they've closed the A&E, Paul Andrews, in Canterbury. So my new husband
think Canterbury City Council did that, though.
No, I know. But they're building houses. We've got three private schools. We've got umpteen... schools, we've got little and three unis and whose leather's that been?
Have you quite finished?
David Roberts undoing his velcro.
Can we actually
start
the show or are you going to continue?
Ooh.
to rabbit about all of this.
Look, David Roberts is undoing his Velcro bits.
Yeah, good. Well,
my shoes are a bit noisy. I realise they're tapping on the floor, so I thought I'd take them off.
He's a tap dancer as well as a cyclist.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jules, you concentrate on watching David undress, and I'll talk about the show, shall I?
I just tell you, listener, if you are listening in, if Lisa Settle's listening in, or the Josie Maguire, David Robert, he cycled in. He's wearing some lovely little black shorts to the knee, and a very nice fetching blue.
He's in lycra, is what she's trying to say.
He's gorgeous, and he's not sweaty at all, just very manly. Yes, we're going to get a picture and we'll get him and Paul on a tandem perhaps and tweet it out.
Quite right, I will be sweaty anyway. Enough of all that nonsense.
Okay.
That's quite enough. We'd actually like to hear from you, the businesses of Kent and South East England.
We would.
And you can get in touch with us in a number of ways. You could call me on 01303 874 998. That's 01303 874 998. Or you're more likely to get hold of me if you email us at bunkerank@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to make contact with us on the show and to interact with us is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. And we have already had 30 or 40 tweets in, and we've got loads of emails. So do you know what I think we're going to do, Jules?
Well, read an email.
I think you could read an email. Can you manage that?
Yeah, I might do. Depends on my mood. Garden City Business, Paul Andrews, leaders event, save the date. This is Gullen's Solicitors, who are some of our very well-known guests that's been on the show.
Amanda yes, Finn of Amanda. The HR department at Gullen's Solicitors is a regular listener to the show.
She is, and they are at the Garden City Business Leaders event. It's at Maidstone United Football Club, and it's Thursday the 9th of October, so this is a diary date. It's 8 till 10:30. It's hosted by Gullen's chairman, Blair Gullen. Do you know Blair?
I do indeed.
Male or female?
He's male.
Okay, lovely name. Mm-hmm. And the seminar will include the guest speaker, Chris Blundell, who is the Director of Development and Regeneration at Golding Homes. Well, I hope he's building an A&E as well. who's been nominated by a Wolfson Economic Prize for his proposed Garden City project. Chris argues that garden cities should accommodate between 30,000 to 40,000 people with high standards of design and sustainability being core features, with the actual design and layout of the city being a local decision based on community engagement. And Chris proposes that garden cities should be driven and delivered by garden city development corporations in partnership with local enterprise partnerships. Now, there are limited spaces available for this 9th of October event, 8 a.m. at Maidstone United Football Club. I'm going to read out the email. So if you want to book your place, there's a light breakfast included. It's e.smith@gullands.com. Now, talking of garden cities, that is something, the infrastructure.
Absolutely.
Because when they built in Whitstable, they built, now David Robert will know this, they built Estuary View. I was taking umbrage in my column because
really,
because they built all those lovely houses with lovely Estuary View, no bus route, no local shop, no local pub, no church.
I'll tell you what,
hall.
Jules, I've got an idea. Why don't you write a column about this in the local paper?
It's coming out tomorrow, Paul.
Oh, is it? Well,
funny you should say
that. There you go, then.
Yes, you can buy it. No, you get it free from the shop. In fact, David got his from Invicta Budgeons, Binny.
Anyway, on a completely different note, I've just had a tweet from Freddie Parrotface Davis.
Really?
Yeah, saying see you later, because he's coming in on the Kevin Cann show at 3 o'clock.
I tweeted out his photo.
Yeah, you don't get that very often, do you?
No. Did he say, I'm thick up to here?
Yeah, exactly. Cool. I've got an email here from a local organisation that says, good afternoon, Business Bunker Show.
Hello.
Paul and her.
Hello.
I would be very grateful if you could publicise a charity event that we're running at Lid Golf Club and Driving Range, and it's in aid of the Pilgrims Hospice.
And it's hospice?
Hospice. It's on the 28th of August, and it starts at 8:30 in the morning, and it costs a measly £25. And if you want to find out more about it, so it's a golf day, basically, at Lid Golf Club on the 28th of August. If you want to find out more about it, you can phone them on 01797 321 201, or you can go to their website, which they haven't given me, but I will post on the Kent Business Radio website. And also, the same people are telling me that they're holding a foot golf taster session. Foot golf.
What's foot golf?
It's a new sport.
Is that some sort of a affliction you get on your toe?
No. It's a new sport where you play golf, but you kick the ball. You kick a football into a football-sized hole.
Oh, well, there's a hole-in-one, yep. But quite easy.
We're holding a foot golf taster day on Saturday the 16th of August from 12 midday, and it's only £3 a person. Foot golf is one of the fastest-growing sports in the UK. The object of the game is to kick footballs into football-sized holes in the fewest amounts of shots possible. Thanks again for your help. We really appreciate it. And that's Gary Vicops, who's the Secretary and Marketing Manager at Lyd Golf Club and Driving Range. Thank you very much for that.
I'd quite like to play that. I've never played golf.
Have you not? Well, you could play foot golf, couldn't you?
Yeah.
We've had a tweet from the Federation of Small Business, Kent and Medway branch.
Hello.
And they say, could your listeners tell us what they would like from the FSB and tell us how to shape our plans for 2015? And there is a survey, a Survey Monkey survey, that you can fill in to do just that. And I suggest the easiest way of finding out about that is to either go to their website, which is listed on the Kent Business Radio website in the community page, or you can follow them on the Twitter. And their Twitter handle is FSB Kent. FSB Kent. So do give the Federation of Small Business a follow and find out about that. We also had a tweet from Wise Words Festival. Yeah, and Wise Words Festival are staging a whole series of events around Canterbury and East Kent in the coming months. They funded it with a Kickstarter campaign, which went viral, which was really lovely. And they also sent us a rather nice little tweet that says, we love David Robert.
Yeah, I was going
to
say that.
We love David Robert, so we will be listening in to the Business Bunker show so they can hear David.
Oh, it's them, yeah, because I pedal power. I've got a company, Really Groovy Pedal Powered Electricity, and we pedal power a lot of their spoken word projects. And some of the films they do as well. Lovely. I love the Wise Words Festival. We're doing it third year running this September.
Right.
Fantastic spoken word festival.
If you're not the bloke that rides along the front on a penny farthing, I've seen going along. There's a guy that goes on a penny farthing.
Too slow for me. I like something a little bit faster.
Yeah, I noticed.
And a bit safer.
Very racy listener if you're listening.
We got some more tweets. We've got the North Kent Youth Football League tweeted in.
Oh, yeah.
Saying they're listening to the Business Bunker show. And
well, they might like that golf thing.
They may well do, indeed.
Mm.
F Keys has tweeted in. F Keys on a Microsoft training provider based in both Medway and Canterbury, and they provide full Microsoft Office training on all the products, and are very good they are too.
And they're also speaking on the, I believe it's the 28th, it's Thursday the 28th, I think, at Lenley's, and that's details www.kentbusinesstweetup.co.uk.
Is that Lenley's in Roper Road, Canterbury?
Yeah, free parking.
Is that the place with the bed department?
Dennis Roper.
No, it's not. Dennis Brophy's the head of beds.
Oh, yeah. Who's Dennis Roper?
I don't know. They're in Roper Road.
Or Brophy Road. Dennis Roper.
No, they're in Roper Road. And Dennis Brophy's the head of beds there.
I think I'm a little bit spaced out today.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of chocolate.
Today?
Just today.
What's today got to do with it?
Well, no, because I've had Kentish Cob Nuts, quite a lot of chocolate. I'm a bit, you know, chocked out.
Have you had your boiled egg?
I brought salmon this morning.
Salmon? So you've got to keep your protein levels up, girl.
But I was having to ram it down when David Robert came in, so I was very
rude. It's never good ramming it down, is it?
No.
It never works when you ram it down.
Tell you what, though.
What?
I am hungry.
No, really? Wow.
I am hungry.
We are staggered.
Yeah.
I mean, blimey, because it's been, at least 25 minutes since you eaten anything, really, isn't it?
It's late in the day, isn't it? Or is it late in the evening? I'm not sure.
You've lost the will.
But I am hungry. I'm hungry like a wolf.
I'm not surprised. Mind you, you've only had one bottle of Prosecco so far today, haven't you? Which was breakfast.
I'm hungry like a wolf.
Really?
Yeah.
You've been looking at my playlist, haven't you?
No.
You're trying to preempt things now, aren't you? Because I'm going to play some tunage.
Yeah.
And what am I going to play then, Jules?
I don't know. I'm hungry like a wolf.
Oh, yeah. So, is that what I'm going to play?
Oh. Oh, is that them?
Wow.
Yeah.
What
Duran,
a coincidence.
Duran, but
wow,
I am.
That's really amazing, isn't it?
I am a bit hungry like a wolf. In touch with the ground, I'm
Temp Network have hundreds of vacancies across West Kent. We offer ongoing work, weekly pay and a variety of shift patterns to suit your needs. Visit us at www.tempnetwork.co.uk or call Tunbridge Wells 531 777.
Let's work it to the bone, 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 come on, work.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 12th of August, with me, Paul Andrews, and Urgell Serkin. That was a bit of Duran Duran.
Hungry like a wolf.
Surprisingly, it was. Yeah.
It's quite late in the day, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's late in the evening, even.
Yeah, it's just for you, though.
Was it?
Yeah.
Because I am hungry like a wolf. No, the other thing was that there was somebody wolfy on something I read out earlier.
Was it?
I can't remember what it was. It was some. Oh, yeah, Wolfson Economic Prize.
Right, there you go.
You see?
Isn't it great when a show comes together?
You must think up all these at night.
I sit up all night long thinking all this up.
I know.
We're currently working on A Pitch of the Creek, a community project organised by the Brents Community Association and Amicus Horizon Housing Association. We're asking people, young and old, to share their views on Faversham Creek. This will help both the associations to get an understanding of what residents and visitors feel about the creek, discuss what can be done so that we can make the most use of it.
I'd like to build a house there just for myself on the edge.
Yeah, well, that'll be property development, and I don't think that's what they're interested in. No. You can take a photograph or send one you've already got, maybe one from long ago, or you can draw or paint a picture and scan it or photograph it. Most importantly, tell us something about it and tell us what it shows. You can email your photos to picturethecreek@gmail.com. That's picturethecreek@gmail.com before Tuesday the 30th of September. Add your name, address, age and comment in no more than 140 characters. This is my photo. Jules, age 57.
No,
Whitstable.
I'm not 57 yet.
Oh.
And you've got a birthday coming up. Will you be able to get it? And how many characters did you have to do it in?
140.
Well, you can't get 1066 in that with all your other stuff.
Can you not?
No.
For more details to see how the project is taking shape, please visit our website, which is http://picturethecreek.wordpress.com. That's picturethecreek.wordpress.com. Do have a look.
That's from the
gorgeous Natalie at Kent Creative Arts.
Mais oui.
Natalie Benet.
Natalie.
Ooh la la.
Natalie.
Ooh la. Mensonge et dans l'arbre.
Oui. Ma derrière sont petites.
Oui, ça va.
Et petite, okay. Petite. Petit poisson.
Et maintenant,
le mange tout.
Thank you. Read an email.
I will.
In French.
Just
read an email.
Yes, don't tempt me.
Yeah.
You know what will happen.
Yeah.
There's a couple. Oh, this is very apt. This is for David Robert. This is in your honour, David. Couple cycle to Sri Lanka via Dover. This morning, I don't know when this was. Can you not rattle your papers?
This morning, maybe, perchance?
Yeah, maybe. So you got this morning, you sat up.
Perchance, maybe.
Perchance, peut-être. Peut-être. This morning, cyclist Paul Snuggs. I bet he looks Snuggs in his little light.
Oh, here we go. She's on a theme now.
Leanne.
You've got her all a bother, David. You've got her all a bother. That's what we're going to have to throw a bucket of cold water over her soon.
Leanne Pemberton. See, on Scoff and Quaff, on the Superior Show, 11 to 12, live every Tuesday. Which you can listen to again, www.scoffquaff.co.uk. We had an ex-policeman who was in his uniform. That was lovely too. Anyway, Paul Snuggs, and he probably is, and Leanne Pemberton paid a visit to the Best Western Plus Dover Marina Hotel and Spa on the way to Sri Lanka, as you do. Leanne and Paul have spent the night in Dover before heading off on the ferry to Dunkirk on the next stage of their 12,000 kilometres, I believe. Can't be 1,000, can it? 12,000 kilometre charity bike ride from London to Sri Lanka for Kickstart the charity. Kickstart supports the Sri Lankan children who are left without parents or family protection after a long and devastating civil war. Kickstart helps to create a safe and friendly environment for children, and it's a unique charity which focuses on providing fun and innovative ways to improve the livelihoods of children by teaching many life lessons through sport and education. And you can make donations to Kickstart, and they can be made on www.biketrip1200km.com. And that you'll also get progress on their day-to-day life in Sri Lanka and the travel. And that's from the lovely Trevor Bond.
Ah, Trevor.
G'day.
G'day. Hi, Trevor.
You can tell he's from somewhere Antipodean.
He's from Rhodesia.
Trevor@DoverMarinaHotel.co.uk. Now, what I'd also say about that is, listener, that my new husband, who's writing a book called Frontier, Frontier will be out January 2015, published by Wiley _
These messages
publishing.
Are brought to you by Jewel Circuit Enterprises.
Well, he visited Sri Lanka. So what I'm saying is, Paul Andrews, is that he could hook up, if they hook up with the bike trip, that will also help very much in the Twitter, won't it?
It will indeed. Thank you for that.
So, oh dear, there you are in your fighter pilot going over. That's Paul Andrews arriving.
I think the Americans have had enough of you and they're about to bomb you in the cause of world democracy and peace.
Well, you know, we've got Nurse Liz J listening again. She sets her alarm, you know.
Yeah, yeah, in
Where
New York.
New Jersey.
She's in New Jersey, the other side of the Holland Tunnel. Talking about that, our little...
New Jersey?
Talking about... people that are listening to the show outside the country,
Lisa,
Jules.
Lisa Settle.
There are people that listen. I know you don't, but other people do listen, actually. And our little sojourn into a little bit of the Francais has elicited a response.
Oh.
From somebody called Stephanie.
In fact,
Funky Stephanie. And Funky Stephanie runs a company called Le Comptoir de Stephanie.
Le Comptoir.
Yeah, and she has tweeted in saying, hello there, enjoying listening to the Business Bunker.
I don't think she says it like that.
She didn't say
she
it exactly
say,
like
hello
that.
Hello there.
Yeah, yeah. Hello, because she's not really Janet Street Porter. She's in fact Stephanie Funky Steph, and she's in Luxembourg.
Is she?
Indeed she is.
Oh.
So, hello, Steph. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show over there in Luxembourg, and thank you for joining us. And sorry about our French.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, isn't Luxembourg would have a different dialect as well, wouldn't it?
Quite possibly.
Because I went to...
I think they'd actually all sound like Janet Street Porter. Thank you. I think so.
Well, I went to Brugge once, and I...
You went to where?
Brugge. Good job we got the spit guard, isn't
Brugge.
It? I went to Brugge.
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 Brugge. Did you?
And I spoke...
Isn't Brugge that thing that you put... in water and fizzes? Or is that Barocca?
Barocca.
Oh, that's Barocca.
That's what I put... No, I put that in my Prosecco.
Yeah, I know. She ran out... She ran out of Buck's Fizz one day, so she mixed Barocca. Yeah.
It's lovely.
With some Prosecco and served it.
Gave me a lovely buzz.
Yeah.
The other thing I like in Prosecco is a nice little strawberry, a Kentish strawberry, I find goes down very well.
Okay. Anyway, enough of that
nonsense. I went to Barocca,
and
I spoke to them, it ordered everything in beautiful French.
Yeah. And they were all German speakers.
No, they got very uppity. And
I'm
he
not
said,
surprised.
Why are you talking to us in French? Because, of course, they speak Flemish.
Yeah, in that part, yeah.
Yeah, well, it depends how much dairy they eat, probably, but they were a bit phlegmy. But he was furious with me for talking French.
I'm not surprised.
I had to reverse and back out and sidle out of the cafe.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Yeah. We've also had a tweet from a lady called Natasha, and on the Twitter, her Twitter handle is not sure just yet. And she says...
I like that.
Hi, Paul. We would love a shout-out for Whitstable Play and Whitstable Umbrella Centre, and their two Twitter handles, which I'll give you in a moment. We'll be looking for business, project-minded gurus soon for a new activity that will involve children and young people developing their own community projects and activities. So if you would kindly follow one of these three, or indeed all three of these Twitter handles, you will find out more as their project unfolds. Natasha can be followed on Not Sure Just Yet, all one word, Not Sure Just Yet. Or you can follow Whitstable Play, that's at Whitstable Play, or you can follow at Umbrella Centre. And that, all of those are all one word, so just follow all of them, or follow me, Vanilla Web, and you can find them and follow them. And you will find out more about what those folks are up to over there in the Canterbury area. So thank you for that, Natasha. I think you can do one more email, Jules. I'll do an email.
Yeah, because I'm scrolling through my...
Dr. Sin.
Oh, yeah, who's he?
The Day of Sin. Dr. Sin was a character written by Russell Thorndike in the 60s, played by Patrick McGowan in the TV series Dr. Sin and the Scarecrow. Russell Thorndike lived and wrote the story not a mile from where we are in the studio, and the whole thing takes place around the Romney Marsh area, which is where the Channel Radio studios are, from where we are broadcasting this very show. And we have been contacted by Dave Ramzan, and he says, I'm contacting you on behalf of the Sin Committee in regard regards to the 50th anniversary of the Day of Sin, a biannual festival held in Dymchurch celebrating Kent's fictional 18th century smuggler, made famous by author and actor Russell Thorndike, who was a native of the area. This year's festival, which takes place over the coming August Bank Holiday weekend, that's from Friday the 22nd to the 24th of August, is its 50th year. I'm hoping that you may be interested in this event, as a local interest programme feature would help us raise profits for the day for our community causes. So that's the Day of Sin programme over the bank holiday weekend, taking place around the Dymchurch area. And there is a website associated with it, which is Day of Sin, and sin is spelled S-Y-N. It's all one word, www.dayofsin.co.uk. They also have a Facebook page, so do check that out and find out about that over the bank holiday weekend, please.
When is the bank holiday weekend?
It is, in fact, August the 23rd, the 24th and the 25th, which is the day after
your
my birthday.
Yeah, I'm going to buy you some batteries, I said.
Are you?
I'm saving up.
Good. And we've had a tweet from SMB Airport Taxis, who says...
Well, was that them going across the...
Yeah, quite possibly. Vanilla Web, good afternoon. SMB, 4, 6 and 8-seater airport taxis, all major credit cards accepted. Give us a shout. We can take you from the Seven Oaks, Maidstone and Gravesend areas, and our phone number is 07930-281-229. We'll put a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website. So thank you for listening in and for telling us about your taxi services to the airport.
We've had a fantastic tweet in from Advance Bunzel. That's Advance B-U-N-Z-L. And they say, hello, Vanilla Web and lovely Jules, listening in and enjoying the show. And also Pure Kent has recommended them at Pure Kent. They say, our friends at Advance Bunzel design and make wonderful flower bags. That's F-L-O-U-R, flower bags. Get in touch. But of course, they don't just make flower bags. They make labels for anyone.
Oh, right, OK.
Label experts in Kent.
Oh, right, OK.
So they're new listeners.
Good, thank you for that.
Hello to you. Actually, Twitter's hugely... And Brant McNaughton's popped up.
Has he, indeed?
Yeah.
G'day, Brant.
But of course, he's talking about the Scoff and Quaff show, which is a superior show, so...
Was he suffering a hangover from it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, is he still trying to get his head together after listening to it?
Possibly.
Route to Employment Provider, Target Your Potential, is coming to Tunbridge Wells with a new innovative and interactively engaging event this autumn to help link recruiting employers to talented new employees. Taking place at the Royal Victoria Place, Tunbridge Wells, on the 15th to the 19th of September. Your business can become involved and it will help achieve some incredible outcomes. Interacting with people who have genuine interest in your industry, exposure within an environment that has extensive footfall. So what these guys are looking for is people, businesses that would like to sponsor one of their industry segments during these series of workshops. And the industry segments that they will be talking about is ICT, construction, music, creativity, catering and retail. If you would like to get in contact with them, you need to speak with Gillian Humble, and you can email Gillian at info@typ.uk.com, info@typ.uk.com, or you can call her on 07504 007509. If you follow me on the Twitter, I've been tweeting it out, and there's a link to it all, and there's actually a bit of a blog on the Kent Business Radio website about it all, so do have a look at that, because for some reason this gobby person is going to be speaking at it.
You?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you just turn up to the opening of an envelope.
I would indeed.
Kent and Surrey at BeFast Friends say hello. Lycra alert. I think that's you, David. David Robert. And he says, Vanilla Web, Jules Serkin, Seven Oaks, hashtag, guest speaker on the 29th of August. It's Leon McCarron, M-C-C-A-R-R-O-N. Leon's first book, His Bicycle Journey Across North America. Yeah. And David Robert...
David is very appreciative of that. He's into that. I think he may have read it even.
Yeah.
No, I know Leon. Leon did a wonderful thing. He came to a school I was working at in Canterbury and gave an assembly to inspire young cyclists. It was fantastic. No, good, great to hear from you again, Leon. He's a really inspiring man. I think he walked from Mongolia, didn't he? That was his first.
Walked from Mongolia?
Yeah, I remember that.
Blimey.
You wouldn't walk from Tenterden, would you?
Not to Mongolia, no.
But you would walk to here.
Mm.
Who is that that keeps flying over? It might be Freddie Parrotface Davies.
It could be.
Arriving.
More likely, yeah. I suspect it's...
Do you know our guest, Theresa Scott? She's quite... She's got the giggles.
Has she?
Yeah, she's...
I wonder why that is.
Yeah.
Is that because you keep tickling her?
I don't know.
Anyway, talking of guests...
That
I think
be
it's
Ken Dodd, though,
I think
it?
It's about time we actually spoke to somebody sensible and not you.
Who are we going to speak to?
Somebody sensible and not you.
Okay.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker Show, for the first time, our first guest, Mr. David Robert. Hello, David. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Pleasure to be here.
Why don't you tell our listener, and we only have one left after all that, I'm afraid. Why don't you tell our listener about you and what you do? We're going to talk about your day job first.
Okay,
and then
yep.
we might expand that a little bit, because I know a few other things about you, and which you reminded me of, and we might kind of get round to that as well. And listener, he did cycle here, just to be fair.
It was a mixed journey, a mixed bicycle and train journey.
Right, okay. So were you trained to Ashford and then cycled from there?
It was a bike ride, 7 miles Whitstable to Canterbury, jumped on the train to Ashford, and then a bike ride from Ashford to here.
Right, okay.
Very nice it was too. Lovely and flat with a cooling breeze through the marshes.
Very impressive.
Yeah, it is a flat across the marsh, isn't it? Hmm. So tell us about your day job and what you do in Sustrans.
Okay, so I'm a project officer for Sustrans, and Sustrans is the UK's largest sustainable transport charity.
Right.
And I suppose we're quite well known for a cycling infrastructure that we put in, like the National Cycle Network, the NCN. People might have seen the signed NCN1, for example, the Crab and Winkle. Mm. You've got the Viking Coastal Trail running along the coast of Thanet.
Mm.
So we work with local authorities to get those cycle networks put in and to make sure they're looked after.
Right.
But sometimes when people know Sustrans, it sort of works against me, because they always think that I'm going to talk about cycling, and I'm always here to sort of, you know...
It's a whole deal of things. It's not just cycling.
It is, yeah. And they think I'm going to be anti-car, especially if I turn up on a bike wearing a bit of lycra. Yeah. But I think it's really important that this particular project that I'm working on is very much wider than that.
Right.
It is a project to support small and medium enterprises in the Thanet and Sandwich area.
Mm.
And what we're doing is it's a free service, and it really is genuinely free, because it's funded. Working with SMEs to rethink their business travel.
Right.
Can they reduce travel?
Right.
And can they reduce the cost of travel?
Because
45% of small and medium enterprises, so that's any business under 250 employees, spend more than 10% of their annual budget on business travel.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all, yeah.
And sometimes it's the sort of last thing they think about, or it's on the list to do things, but they don't get to it. You know, they're trying to save costs, or, you know, they're trying to increase their market, increase products, activity, increase services. But big savings can be made on looking at travel, and also you can enhance your business credentials and your reputation. So it's working with companies to sit down and look at their current travel profile.
Yeah, sure.
And say, look, you know, could you be travelling less, for example, by doing more video conferencing?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, just quite simply not travelling. Improve your IT and, you know, do more Skyping, do more conference calls.
You could get me on a big, big soapbox about this, David.
I think you'd rather you were on a bike.
I get really annoyed with the government over this. Wasting billions of pounds building railway lines, when in fact what they should be doing is spending money on improving the infrastructure for broadband and fibre optics in the country. Because why do you want to make people travel everywhere?
Yeah, I accept that, you know, people do need to travel business. It's been I'm glad you mentioned the train line, actually, because if they are going to travel, why not use the train?
Well,
why not have good Wi-Fi on the train? And then people can get out their laptops, get out their iPads, and be working on the train. That is all lost working time. When you're in a car, that is lost working time. I do agree that businesses need to think smart. And one of the things I'm able is to access some grants, some match funding. So business perhaps could improve their IT suite, or improve their video conferencing, virtual working, use of the cloud. So again, I can help businesses access and match funding.
So let's just explore this a little bit. So as an organisation, Sustrans, which is a Action of Sustainable Transport.
Sustainable Transport, absolutely. Yeah. National charity.
And there is a hashtag.
Cool. What you guys are doing is going around visiting SMEs, having a look at their transport profile and making suggestions about how they could save money, increase their efficiency, because of course, as you just quite rightly highlighted, all the time you're travelling, whatever route you're travelling, you're taking up time. If you're not driving a car or riding a bike or anything else, then sometimes you can use that time if you can access Wi-Fi or the internet. So that's the kind of thing you do, is you sit with companies, you look at what they're doing, make some suggestions about how they may improve those kind of things.
Yeah, absolutely. So this particular project is just a South East project. Sustrance is a national charity. We've got various different projects with schools and universities and communities. But this particular business one is South Hampshire, East Kent, East Surrey and East Sussex.
Right.
Because I know there are businesses from that area who tune into this show as
well. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Far-reaching. Even over in Dunkirk, eh?
Absolutely.
But every company has a different need.
Yeah.
And, we're not anti-vehicle. Some of the work that I do and my colleagues is sitting down with a freight company and maybe talking about route planning. Could you save money through route planning? Driver training.
Yeah.
Sometimes, there's ways of driving where you're not accelerating and you're maintaining speed. I talked to a really interesting company, actually. I met them at a low-carbon conference in Tonbridge. And they move a lot of big infrastructure for the railways, for network rail machinery and track. And she said one of the best things we ever did to save money was regulate our vehicles to the national speed limit.
Yeah.
A, we stopped paying fines, speeding fines. We stopped having the staff to administrate those speeding fines. And you know what? It improved our reputation.
Yeah.
Because we've got logoed vehicles. And do we want to be the company speeding, breaking the speed limits down? Mm. Or do we want to be the company that's driving sensibly and carefully? So it's amazing. Every company has its own needs. And it is sitting down and looking at that company's particular needs.
Yeah. That's absolutely very true as well, and it's something that people don't think about when they're driving, whether it's trucks, buses, cars, taxis or anything else, is that there's an optimum way of driving that is fuel efficient, and then you get, without maligning anyone, the boy racers that think that over-revving a car somehow sounds cool and sounds like they know how to drive, which of course is anybody that actually really does know how to drive would never do anything remotely like that. Even in I used to own a motor racing team, and even in a racing scenario, the fuel that we use is we're far more effective with the fuel we use because of the way that the drivers drive. Even though they're driving at really high speeds, they drive properly. And when you drive properly, you don't waste fuel. So that's a really important point, because people do waste fuel in the way they drive.
Yeah, and it really adds up for a company that's doing a lot of miles in company vehicles and moving freight around. That really does add up over a year.
Yeah, so
we can access. Let's say we want to work with companies, and in some of the areas that there's actually free driver training.
Right.
So we want to talk to these companies and hope to get them on these driver training courses. Mm. There's free access to fleet management, fleet analysis, looking at using the most efficient vehicles. Should you be buying vehicles? Should you be leasing vehicles? There's good grants available to move over to electric vehicles at the moment.
Right, okay.
Information about new charging points.
Talking about electric vehicles.
How far can you go in one? That's what I want to know.
I haven't bought it yet, and I've been talking to the dealer about putting a deposit on my new vehicle.
What are you getting?
It's a BMW i8, and it looks stonkingly fabulous. It's a hybrid car.
Right.
And on its batteries, it can do 250 miles if you drive it, effectively.
That's good.
Yeah, but it's also got a petrol engine in it, so you don't actually run out of fuel anywhere.
So
when the battery dies, you just carry on with petrol until you get to a recharging point. And the thing that BMW have managed to do is to make the recharging much more effective. You can recharge the whole thing to full in 3 hours now, which a lot of the other early electric vehicles were overnight. But, typical of BMW, if you buy a BMW recharger, a bargain at like $2,000, but if you buy it, you can charge the whole car in an hour.
Yeah, there's rapid charger
points. It's a rapid charger point.
Yeah, yeah.
So no. And can you charge it, sorry David, can you charge it just by, do you have to drag the charger with you where you go?
You can plug it into any electric outlet to charge it, but you know, what hopefully will happen as these things unfold is more and more petrol stations and places like that will offer recharging points, and they'll presumably offer free fast recharging points for a small amount of money, because obviously they're going to still want to make money if they're not selling petrol or diesel.
So how much does that retail at, that BMW?
The car?
Roughly, yeah.
Well, they're £100,000, but... Yeah, but you pull a face, but you think about how much
on
fuel...
On radio, I was pulling a face.
Yeah. But you think about how much you spend on a conventional car and how much you spend in fuel.
Okay.
And the fact that, at the moment, a car like that has no road tax at all, or vehicle tax, whatever they call it this week.
No congestion charge.
No congestion charges. Yeah. You get all kinds of benefits of doing that. And if you own it as a company car, there's no company car supplement.
Okay.
At the moment, if you own a company car, they charge you an absolute fortune in your personal tax. At the moment, and for the first 5 years, there is no surcharge for it.
But I think we need to get the prices of these cars down, David.
Yeah, but it's a two...
Well, they're not all expenses, the BMW.
No, but that's gorgeous. The BMW is a two-seater sports car with a top speed of 260 miles an hour.
So it is gorgeous.
It's not the kind of thing that everybody's going to want to buy.
So what's your common or garden electric car start at, David? That if I were going to go... Because my new husband was looking, saying he wanted one. Would he get a smart one, or what are they?
Well, there's loads on the market. There's a Leaf or whatever.
There's Lexus. The prices come there because most of them... The
hybrids.
Most of the car manufacturers now make electric or hybrid cars.
And vans, of course. There's a lot of vans as well.
Absolutely.
Whatever happened to the ones they were making out of old cooking oil that used to run on old cooking oil?
You can still do that.
Well, that biodiesel, that's... I think there's two... That's available in... Ashford and Hythe, actually. Yeah. There's two places in East Kent where it's registered biodiesel. So Ashford, you just Google it. There's somewhere in Ashford and somewhere in Hythe.
But when you're talking about the environment, though, there's people still in this day and age that sit. You know, I live near JoJo's in Whitstable. They sit, they pull up on the seafront, they never get out of their car. They sit and eat their McDonald's or whatever, and they leave their engine running in this weather just... Honestly, sometimes three quarters of an hour they sit there.
They don't want to do that anymore.
Well, any business vehicle, you know, I think they'd have the sense to switch them off or ask their staff to, because that's costing a business money.
It will cost you more than that because it's now illegal.
Is it?
You get 3 points on your licence and a spot fine of £30 if you sat with your engine switched on and not moving.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, well, I can go nipping out to them with a little... Yeah. Placard then.
Mm-hmm. I mean, both. I've got two cars, and both the cars I've got have start-stop technology anyway. So even when you come to a halt at traffic lights, the car switches itself off.
That's great. Mm. Hey, just we were talking about electric vehicles. Here's something that businesses will probably want to know. Any hotel or leisure industry can actually get a charging point, electric charge point, completely free.
Right.
I have to tell Trevor Bond.
They have to. Mm. They'd have to pay the installation fee. Mm. But you know, if you think about it, for a hotel or a leisure centre, they're looking at places where a vehicle is sat for a few hours or overnight.
Yeah.
Now that's a wonderful trip gain. So if there's any businesses in Thanet or Sandwich that I can advise them on that and help them obtain those points free.
Without getting into the politics of it all, for a long while, electric vehicle technology struggled. A lot of the car manufacturers weren't particularly into it because the battery technology they realised wasn't good enough, and they didn't know what to do, and they didn't know which way to go. That has radically changed.
It has. Massive improvement.
Every car manufacturer now realises that the future is likely to be electric cars, and that's where most of them are doing their development work. And because they've switched their R&D to that, you're making massive inroads into the technology. And as each week goes past, almost, the technology improves. What will happen is, as those cars come into demand and people can buy them, that will cause people out there to build the infrastructure. As Dave quite rightly says, hotels and places like that will start having charging points.
Yeah, supermarkets. Yeah, supermarkets.
Exactly.
I've been working with Discovery Park in Sandwich, and they're going to install one. Mm.
Could I just say, I saw some today at the services for the first time, some electric charging points.
Yeah, so absolutely.
People are catching on.
Yeah, and now that it's starting to catch on, it will really snowball.
Yeah.
Because once you see it a few places, everybody will start doing it. And that's what it took, really.
Now, we've had a listener who listens in from New Jersey, and it's the lovely nurse Liz Jay. Mm. And she's asking David, she said she thinks that firemen have concerns with the electric cars. Would you know anything? Remember, she's out in the USA, so maybe it's something different.
Not heard of it in this country. I think we're very rigorous here with health and safety.
I know what she's referring to.
What?
There's an electric car called a Tesla. And in the early versions of the Tesla, the batteries had a tendency to explode.
Okay.
Allegedly, I ought to add. There are a number of reports of batteries exploding and catching fire to the cars. So you park your car, come back to a burnt-out shell. A Tesla themselves denied that happened. There were a couple of incidences where cars had problems. But that was in the early days of the batteries in any case. And I think I may not have remembered this properly, so do forgive me. But a lot of it was to do with the fact that somebody had parked one of the cars in a desert and it was the heat as much as anything
and
else.
Smoked a cigarette and the sun.
Yeah.
But if Nurse Liz would like to send us a picture of firemen in their uniform testing out this, then we will be happy to
here
investigate.
Here we go again. Yeah, thank you, Jill.
We will be happy to send us any pictures of firemen you've got.
Thank you, Liz, for that. So, David, just kind of wrapping up where we are now, one of the other things I want to briefly talk about to you, because I met you in a completely different scenario a few months back, where you kindly came to Fruitworks, which is a place I'm involved with, and you powered a presentation that we did there with your Wheelie Groovy outfit. Tell us a little bit quickly about that.
Yeah, no, I'm co-owner of a company called Wheelie Groovy, and we're bicycle-powered electricity. So we have a bicycle-powered sound system, a bicycle-powered cinema, and we also do bicycle-powered smoothies.
Wow.
And so we've just done Lounge on the Farm.
Right.
We were powering a tent that had a lot of spoken word poetry, as you mentioned.
Yourself. With the Wise Words Festival as well, yeah.
We've got a little project going at the moment called Spoken Words,
right?
And it was a workshopping up and coming young poets in the Medway area, the Ashford area, and the Canterbury area, and they've been doing slam poetry competitions. And there was a Canterbury final at Lounge on the Farm, and the big Kent final is happening actually at the Wise Words Festival in September.
Fantastic.
We also powered Create Festival, which is quite interesting because we were just sort of packing up to go. And the main generator went down.
Oh, wow.
And they said to us, could you stay and power the last two bands? So it was, you know, a real victory for legs.
For pedal power.
Yeah, and a lot of young people, a lot of children were powering those bands, really going for it.
See, we should have spoken to you 3 weeks ago. We got hit by lightning here, and it took us out. And we spent the last 2 weeks installing UPS. We should have installed a bike, really, shouldn't we?
We could all be sitting here.
Yeah, cycling.
Cycling.
But you could be burning calories at an alarming rate, Jules.
And then
I'm tweeting.
It's an excuse to eat more, isn't it?
Don't encourage her, David.
Well,
don't encourage
her. Funny you should say that, because I've got these lovely Kentish cob nuts from At Potash Farm, and they're chocolate coated.
I'm bonking as we speak.
Bonking?
Bonking is a technical term.
We've never said that word on the business.
Well, I'm using it in a technical context. It's because I've ridden here today. I'm now suddenly sort of feeling
very
a little
impressive,
bit low. Le bonk is from French, because we've been talking French today.
Exactly.
It's when a cyclist gets a bit low on energy and they need to eat something. So I think
is that like hitting the wall?
Yeah, it's a bit like that.
I think I prefer bonking.
Yeah, so I'm having a sort of...
We don't wish to know.
And I've got to cycle back to Ashford, so I might have to tuck into your... They look like chocolate.
Well, a nut is so good for you, straight to the brain.
Absolutely.
So as soon as you finish talking, because you might cough if you have a nut.
Anyway.
Did we cover electric bikes and grants?
Yeah, we did. Anyway, I'd just like to say a massive thank you to Dave Robert for joining us from Sustrans, a project officer for workspaces, I think.
But yeah, for small and medium enterprises, and like I say, anyone who's running a small and medium enterprise, so you've got below 250 employees, and you're in the Thanet area or the Sandwich area, just do get in touch with me.
Fabulous. And the contact details are on the Kent Business Radio website, so people can find out.
They are great. You know, just get in touch. We can have a little chat. I can come and visit you. And you
what's
know,
your website? Have we said it?
So the
www's dot
yeah oh, that's the one sustrans.org.uk.
fabulous. That link is on the Kent Business Radio website, so people can find out about it.
I can even offer free travel plans to businesses.
Fantastic.
They can have their own little business travel plan.
David, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Do stay with us for a few remaining minutes.
Do I get my cobnut now?
You do indeed. What we're going to do is play a bit of tunage, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to our next guest.
I think it's late in the evening.
Yeah.
Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on campusesradio.co.uk on Tuesday the 12th of July with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin. Earlier on we heard from Mr. David Robert of Sustrans. It's now an absolute pleasure to welcome our second guest of the day onto the Business Bunker show, Teresa Scott, Chief Executive Officer of Kennedy Scott. Teresa, thank you for joining us. You came a long way today as well to join us too, didn't you?
I did, but it's all worth it. It's been such fun, and I've learnt so much already. So I'm going to take.
What have you learned?
I've learnt a lot about sustainability around travel. So we're going to be talking to David
and a lot about overeating from Jules. I said that, not you. Yes, all right.
I'm looking forward to actually trying those chocolate nuts later.
They do look nice, don't they? I have had a couple of the unchocolate coated cob nuts, which were really, really, really nice. But anyway, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker show. It's an absolute pleasure to meet you, Teresa. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your organisation to start with, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. Well, I run an organisation called Kennedy Scott, and we are delivering services for unemployed people across Kent. Mm-hmm. We've got four centres, one in Canterbury. Hello, Julie, because I'm sure that the team are listening in.
Hello, Julie.
Dover with Maggie.
Hello, Maggie.
Leader there. Folkestone with Karen, who's
about
to go off on maternity leave, so
good luck with that.
And Maidstone with Teresa.
Hello, Teresa in Maidstone.
So all four of our managers working very hard.
Are you stalking me? Funny enough, I've got offices in all those places.
It's funny you should say that, because we use Jobs in Kent to help the job seekers that come through our doors.
Oh, that's good to hear.
But today I'd quite like to talk about what we can offer to small local businesses.
Right, okay.
Because the majority of our unemployed people are trained, reskilled and coached into great jobs with small local businesses across Kent. Mm. So I just wanted to point out what we could offer them, which is all free of charge, in terms of helping them with their recruitment needs. And I know how difficult that can be myself. And we've got quite a sizable company. We've got 120 staff and we have a personnel manager. But it's very hard if you're a small business and you want to recruit and you've got to run the business and develop the business and you need staff. So we're there to help you. We can provide a free service. We can sift people for you. We can go through the sorts of skills that you're looking for. We can even give them some training to upskill them so that they're actually ready for a job. And we can work with you in-house. And all of that, as I say, is free to the employer.
That's brilliant.
Yep.
That's just what I need. Let's talk after.
We can also support them when they're in a job and give them further training when they're in the job.
And do you provide... I know you want to talk about SMEs, and we certainly will do that. But do you as an organisation provide training to those employees? Is that part of what you do as well?
Once they go into work, we can support them, yes, once they're in the job as well.
Okay.
And we also do a lot of work with small companies in terms of work placements.
Right.
Because they can try before they buy, so to speak, although they don't have to buy. It doesn't cost them anything. And they can train them a bit. They can get to know them. Mm. The unemployed person can get to know the company, so if it's right for them. And we have about 80% of our work placements now going to jobs locally, which is great.
Can I ask you something? Because this isn't... hopefully not a leading question, but you hear it quite often with a lot of people will say, oh, look, I can't go and do work experience, or I can't have a temporary placement or something like that because I lose my benefits. How does that... do you know about that kind of thing, or is that not your area really?
No, we do, and all of our staff can help them estimate what the effect will be, whether it's a work placement. That shouldn't really affect their benefit, to be honest.
Right.
But if they go into a part-time job, how that will affect their benefit and thereafter. So, yes, every centre has somebody that can help them with
cool.
that.
Cool, OK.
I thought part of being on the benefits system was that you're supposed to attend for interviews and things like that.
You are. In order to keep your job seeker's allowance, you have to prove that you're attempting to find yourself a job. One of the things that happens, I think, is if you're not perceived to be attempting to find a job, and I can't remember what the rules are, you probably know them far better than I do, Teresa, but there comes a time when you are put onto a programme to actually find training or work for you, because you haven't done it yourself, if you see what I mean. Mm. Yeah.
It's all designed to give people the experience, the confidence to take that step back into work. And a lot of our customers also have health issues.
Right.
Or they have been caring for a sick or elderly relative. There are all sorts of reasons that people are unemployed. And I get quite annoyed, actually, at the popular press portrayal of the unemployed as being those dull bludgers that don't really want to work. That's not true. That's not the case. The majority of them are really quite keen and often desperate to work, but they just really don't know where to start, and we can put them back on track.
Don't even get me started on that. I totally agree with you. It's one of the things that I spend an awful lot of time talking to people about trying to unhook this perception of unemployment to a lack of jobs, because there isn't a lack of jobs, and there never has been. We have more jobs than you can shake a stick at. Mm. Unemployment issues are not about a lack of jobs. Unemployment issues break down into lots of different issues, and you're absolutely right. I saw a statistic, I think I may even have collected the statistic myself, that said something like less than 10% of unemployed people are actually people that could be employed, if you see what I mean. The rest of them, the other 1.7 million people, have lots of different reasons why it's difficult for them to get a job.
Absolutely.
Which can be mental health issues, it can be substance abuse issues, but it can also be simple stuff like they don't have the training, they don't have the qualifications, some of them can't read and write. You know, there's all kinds of reasons why people don't have a job.
That's absolutely it. And some of it's mobility as
well. Of course.
It's interesting talking to David.
Yeah, absolutely.
If there were better cycle paths, people would
actually
bikes. And trains.
Work on a bike.
David's champing at the bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's interesting because Therese and I realised that we sort of crossed paths before, because I used to work for Connections, which is guidance for young people.
Yeah.
And I remember one of my things that I had to do was to get young people into work experience placements or apprenticeships. And if they lived in rural areas, there wasn't transport. Sometimes they couldn't afford it. And what is the best mode of transport for young people? You know, bicycles.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it's how they go to college and how they go to school. And I think if that could be encouraged to continue young people to go into cycling in the workplace. And also, people who are active take far fewer sick days. So it's very good. You know, businesses should be encouraging, providing cycle storage, providing showers, providing lockers. Get your staff active, fewer sick days. And also staff retention if you keep the people happy and get young people in.
Absolutely. It's absolutely true. Funnily enough, here down on Romney Marsh, we have a massive problem. There are very few employers down here on the marsh, so they have a huge unemployment problem. 8 miles away is Ashford. Mm-hmm. Ashford has an employment problem where they can't fill the jobs. But there is no bus service. There's no train service.
Flat.
Yeah, but there is no public transport. Most of the people don't have their own forms of transport. And one of the things I suggested was like a borrow spike scheme. And everybody went, hey, you know, it's only 8 miles away. It isn't a long way away. Anyway, let's come back to Theresa, because we're here to hear from Theresa, not me. So why don't you tell us, so you're looking at these various areas in Kent, in Kennedy Scott, and you're looking for SMEs to work with. Are you looking for any particular type of SME, or is it anyone?
No, anyone across the board. We have a wide range of customer base and skill base. We can certainly help them, as we said earlier, with some basic skill training or upskilling with IT. There's a whole range of things that we can offer.
Right.
Health and safety training, first aid training. We can give them certificates. For some of them, it's quite humbling, because it's the first certificate they've ever actually achieved in their lives.
Yeah.
And then they go off into a job.
So. Okay. But also, from the other point of view, from an employer's point of view, especially an SME, small businesses struggle. Womanfully and manfully, and I say womanfully first because an awful lot of small businesses these days are now started by female entrepreneurs and female business people. Small business is the lifeblood of our country. 75% of employees in the private sector are employed by companies with less than 10 employees. We have 68,000 small businesses currently in Kent, and a growing number of them. But there are requirements of different types that small businesses have. Like, so for instance, if you operate a food preparation business, you need food handling certificates.
Absolutely,
and stuff like that.
Food hygiene.
So are they the kind of things that you can help people with?
Exactly, that's exactly the sort of thing.
Right.
And we can run a pre-employment training program, so we can take it from actually having a set of people that we sift, so we find the best people, the most compatible people for the job.
Right.
Then we can take them through training. Then we can do another sift if people haven't got through that and succeeded. And then in the end, we are presenting to the employer people we think are actually going to stay the course.
So basically, there's nothing much to not like about this, really, is there?
No, absolutely not.
No brainer.
Because, you know, a lot of SMEs say to me, I really, really need to employ somebody else, but then I'd have to get them certificated and stuff like that, and it all costs money, and it all does this and
fact,
all does that.
With young people at the moment, there's a wage incentive scheme.
Right.
So they actually carry some money that the employer can draw down for taking them on. So that's a huge incentive, 18 to 24-year-olds.
Okay.
And a lot of them go through an apprenticeship, or they go through a work placement and then go into a job. And we've got very many satisfied and very happy SMEs out there. And we are actually running two events coming up. which will appeal to local businesses, one in Maidstone and one in Canterbury.
Right.
Maidstone, the 24th of September, between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. We have an employer fair buffet lunch at our Maidstone Centre.
Right, where do you know where your Maidstone Centre?
That's Miller House, 43 to 51 Lower Stone Street in Maidstone.
Yep, okay.
And then on 26th of September, we have a similar event in Canterbury, which is a business breakfast, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. We've got a whole host of local organisations coming through and some employers. So if you're a small local business and you think you might be able to use the service, come and talk to an employer who's happy with us. Mm. And obviously our staff there to advise you of the process. So,
fantastic.
And so there is such a thing as a free breakfast and a free lunch.
A free lunch, yeah. What we will do, we will get all that information from you before you go today, and we'll put all of that on the Business Bunker website so that people can follow up on it, find out about it, get the contact details and come along and participate where appropriate in those workshops, which will be fabulous. I was going to ask you about Kennedy Scott. Do you get involved in apprenticeships?
We don't actually do the training for apprenticeships ourselves. We are about to. We have just launched a skills division. We have taken on a new joint CEO who is from a skills background.
Right.
And it's looking very promising. We're in talks with two different organisations at the moment to deliver some skill-based training.
Okay, because funnily enough, you haven't specifically said this, so I'm going to paraphrase you, but there's a lot of schemes and incentives and things out there, and quite often SMEs haven't heard about them all. We have a number of blogs on the Kent Business Radio website about apprenticeships and traineeships. Traineeships, nobody's heard of, yeah? But it's actually a government-funded scheme that is really quite good, but, you know, the publicity just kind of disappears, I guess. So there are a number of schemes. Is that something that you are able to help SMEs
yes,
with?
Yes, absolutely. If they come along to any of our centres, we can offer a one-stop shop. Mm. We can advise them on who's doing that sort of thing in the area. We can talk to them about other support organisations. There's a whole host of things that we can offer. And for our unemployed customers, we have debt advisors as well and other small organisations and third sector charities who come in and support our customers in the same space. So.
Right.
They don't have to go anywhere else.
Cool, so they just come and talk to you guys, really.
And where are you based?
We are based in Maidstone, Canterbury, Folkestone, and we're also in Dover.
Okay, that's brilliant. And so your catchment area is pretty large.
Mm. Yep, it is indeed, yeah. It's really interesting, isn't it, that these kind of things exist, and no matter how many times you tell people about it, one of the things that we find, and one of the reasons we actually do this radio show, isn't because there's a lack of information, but quite often because there's too much. You know, people are bombarded with things, and it all eventually goes over their head, and they don't concentrate and don't, you know, really see it. So one of the nice things is to explore it in a little more depth, as we are doing with you and earlier with David, about the kind of things that you're doing, so that people can actually focus on it a bit more and get their mind around thinking about it.
Could I also say,
yeah, of course,
we sometimes get customers through that have got health issues,
right,
and they're very worried that their health issue might affect their ability to work.
Hmm.
We've got some interesting projects running at the moment. Dover and Folkestone, for example, have partnered up with East Kent Health Authority for 40 plus customers. That's age 40 plus. That doesn't affect Jules. Customers will have a free MOT, cholesterol tests, blood pressure tests, general fitness and lung capacity.
Tell you what, my car needs an MOT.
So if you are at all worried about any health issue, come along and have a chat with somebody. It might well be that you can be supported, or you can work part-time, or you can work from home and do some training that enables you to work from home.
One thing I would say from experience of friends of mine who don't work, they're the ones that typically get depressed because they're at home all the time, they're on their own, they're isolated. Getting people out into work, if it's part-time, often people with severe depression get some off drugs, and like David said, get them cycling. Lung capacity, you mentioned, nothing like a bit of aerobic exercise.
Absolutely.
For lung capacity.
And in Canterbury, we have specialised health trainers from the NHS visiting the centre weekly to support customers that do have chronic health problems and conditions, and then they liaise with GPs and support the network so that they can achieve their own goals. So there is a lot of support out there for people with health issues that still want to work.
Absolutely. And by working with an organisation such as Kennedy Scott, I'm assuming that you can help reassure people, because one of the problems that SMEs suffer is they read the newspapers. I wish they wouldn't, but they do. And they believe some of the nonsense that's printed in most of our ridiculous newspapers. And the problem is they get scared. They get scared that as an employer, they don't have the wherewithal to handle anything remotely outside of the norm, whatever the norm is. Yeah, and they're terrified of employing anyone. And I tell an interesting story about a radio show I did for the BBC a year or so ago, where people were ringing in asking about employment prospects. And we had a lot of people that were in their middle years saying, oh, well, yeah, of course, once you pass 40, you can't get a job. Actually, it's not true anymore. In fact, it's totally the opposite. And one of the reasons for that is that a lot of, I'm sorry about this, and people will punch me and get very upset, but it is just one of those things. A lot of people now are terrified when they're told that, you know, if you employ a young person, they're entitled to maternity leave and paternity leave. A lot of SMEs go, I can't afford that. I can't afford to employ someone and then to go off on leave. So actually, they started employing people in their middle years on the grounds that they weren't going to do that.
But also the highest number of baby boomers and that sort of age group, 40, 50 plus, are now starting up their own businesses. Huge amount of people.
Absolutely. Mm. But my point is that it's not as scary as people think it is. And there's not a problem with it, actually, if only you understood it and stopped listening to what the papers tell you. And I'm assuming that if you talk to somebody like some of the advisors from places like Kennedy Scott, you can actually, you know, that the examples I've given you are pretty trivial, but people, you know, a lot of people hiring disabled people or whatever think, oh, you know, blimey, we got to build disabled lifts and all kinds of things. And that's not true.
It's always flabbergasted me that you never see anyone with a disability on the telly. You never, like, newsreaders, they all sit down. I know there's that chap's just come back from the war and he's appeared, he was a war correspondent.
I think that is changing, actually.
Yeah, it is changing.
I think it's definitely
very,
changing.
Very slow. You look at the newsreaders, they're mostly blondes with, you know, a very similar look. You
don't see
anybody. You don't see anybody on crutches, and they all sit down.
Yeah, they can report on the Paralympic Games. Can't
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Cool. But could I just say, we actually do practice what we preach, and we have a lovely lady, and she won't mind me saying this morning, Val Winthrop, who works for our Maidstone Centre. Val has MS herself.
Right.
She has overcome huge adversity to come to work every day, and she's a huge inspiration to those people with health conditions, and also to ex-offenders. She's working with some of our ex-offenders in centres and doing a fantastic job putting them back on the right path and rehabilitating them and getting them into some work placements where they're supported.
I have two words to say to that. Mary Daly.
Yeah, Mary Daly, MS
Mary Daly
fundraiser.
Mary Daly, whirlwind dervish. Yeah. Mary has MS. She also has four kids.
And a husband.
And a husband. She has very severe MS. She has just got through raising £3 million to build an MS therapy centre in Canterbury. The woman is an absolute hurricane. Yes, she's ill. She's very ill. You would never know it. She puts the rest of us to shame. Just because someone has a disease, an illness or a disability doesn't mean to say they can't play a full and increasingly even bigger part in work. And Mary Daly is a classic example of that. And it sounds like your lady Val is also too.
Absolutely.
A classic example of that. Yeah,
they probably know each other.
Yeah.
They probably meet in the oxygen chamber at the MS therapy centre.
Yeah. But, you know, it just shows you what can be achieved when people are driven and given a chance. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
And a lot of secondary depression occurs after somebody's had a health condition and they've got over the health condition and they're actually just a bit depressed because they've been unemployed for a couple of years.
Absolutely,
they feel redundant.
You can very quickly work with them to increase their confidence and motivation. We've seen amazing things happen. Yeah. You know, it just makes you cry, really.
Yeah.
But sensational things happen in our centres, so come along and find out.
Okay. We could talk about this for a lot longer. Sadly, we're running out of time. What we're going to do, Teresa, is the two workshops that you've got coming up in Maidstone and Canterbury, we're going to heavily publicise those via the Business Bunker website and get people along. We're also going to get as many people as we can to find out about what you're doing from
Great,
the SME community, because it's important, you know. And presumably talking to SME owners will help you as well understand what their needs are and what they think they want and where they're coming from. So we're happy to do what we can to help you with that. For the moment, give us a shout for your website and how people can contact Kennedy Scott.
It's www.kennedyscott.co.uk.
Fabulous.
All of the details are on there for every centre.
And while we've been on air, you've established a Twitter account. We know.
And a bio. I nagged them. I said, where's your bio? And they've popped one up.
Yeah. So what we'd ask, please, is, Jules, are you ready with this? Because you're the one that knows this. We'd ask anyone out there listening on the Twitter, and we'll tweet it out ourselves, to start following Kennedy Scott on the Twitter, please. And their brand new Twitter handle, I think, is Kennedy Scott UK.
Kennedy Scott Limited.
Limited, is that LTD or LIM?
LTD.
LTD. Kennedy Scott LTD. I can't speak. Kennedy Scott LTD on the Twitter. Please follow them right now. You heard it here. And also their website, which is on the Kent Business Radio website, so you can find out more about what they do. And we will publicise the two events that they will be running in September. Are they both in September?
Yes, Teresa? They are. 24th and 26th.
24th of September and the 26th of September in Maidstone and Canterbury, there will be two events which SMEs can attend. I might come along to that.
Great. You're very welcome. We'd love to see you there.
Yeah. And we will certainly let all of our network know about that. For the moment, Teresa, thank you so much for taking the time and trouble to come all the way over here to talk to us on the Business Monkey Show.
Thank you very much.
It's been an absolute pleasure to meet you and to talk with you. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Well, they've already got 5 followers and they've only been on the Twitter
an hour.
For not even an hour, is it?
Yeah, we'll get that into double figures by this evening.
Exactly.
I want to tell you about this. Drake's Plumbing Supplies opens a branch in Whitstable after acquiring ANC Plumbing. Drake's Plumbing Supplies has 8 outlets across the southeast, and after acquiring ANC Plumbing Supplies in Whitstable, they have a new branch at the John Wilson Business Park, and that's added to the rest of their businesses in Tunbridge Wells, Sittingbourne, Sevenoaks, Gillingham, Ashford, Uckfield and East Grinstead. So, well done, guys. Another business expanding locally. There's some Kent Business tweet ups coming up. Whitstable on Thursday, the 21st of August. I take it, is that still at the Hotel Intercontinental?
It's the Continental.
Continental.
But there's also Thursday, the 28th. It's the lovely Alex Waterton giving a chat.
From F Keys?
Yes.
At Lenley's?
Giving a Microsoft chat.
Well, talking about that, funnily enough.
That's the 28th, 10 a.m. at Lenley's with free parking.
Cool. Funnily enough, the Business Community Breakfast, which Alex is also a member of, have the Medway Youth Trust to speak at the Business Community Breakfast this Thursday. Their talk is entitled Employers Pilot to Success. Medway Youth Trust has a thriving in-house volunteer program that has supported young people with special educational needs to develop their employability skills. This has been an extremely rewarding project for the staff and volunteers involved, so we thought we would share with our local employers. The Business Community Breakfast is approaching its 5th birthday. It's set up by St Augustine's Church as a forum for local businesses to come together to share news about their business, trade with each other and to support each other with ideas, experience and innovation. The breakfast has grown in stature and is a firm monthly fixture for many. As a non-profit making group, we also endeavour to encourage and support several charities and events. And the Business Community Breakfast is held on the second Thursday of each month at Gillingham Golf Club between 7:15 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. although the main programme runs 7:30 till 9. It costs just £10 if you book in advance, because that's what pays for your breakfast. And you can find out all about it by going to their website, which is businesscommunitybreakfast.co.uk. And if you would like to have a free advert on their rolling screen, you can contact Alex at fkeys.co.uk and add your advert to their rolling screen.
A grant from Kent Police will help realise the dreams of residents at a Kent care home. Amherst Court Care Home has been awarded £500 from the Chief Constable's Property Fund for its Wishing Well Appeal Fund. The Wishing Well grants residents' wishes may be to visit places from their youth or go to the theatre, for example, or to revisit an old experience. Amherst Court is in Palmerston Road, Chatham. It's run by the fabulous Avante Care and Support, caring for people living with
Cedric
dementia.
Cedric Frederick.
That's lovely, Cedric Frederick. Mm-hmm. And the home was nominated for the award by Amanda Witherington, who's placement officer with Kent Police. Well done, guys.
Fantastic. We've had a tweet from Lisa Wally-Smith. who says, so many Produced in Kent members have won great taste awards on the Produced in Kent. If you go to the website, you can find out all about that. ProducedInKent.co.uk. Thank you for that. And we've got another Lisa, Lisa Settle. She says, had my first taste of muschuck this morning. It was great with sausages. So Andrew and his muschuck were guests on the Business Bunker, on the Scoff and Quaff nonsense a while back,
yes,
weren't they?
I have some in my fridge.
Of Andrew or muschuck?
Muschuck. There's a famous movie star in World War II, Tank, and he can be seen at the Combined Ops show. The World War II Sherman Tank, as seen in Saving Private Ryan, Band of Brothers and the latest war film Fury, will be appearing at the Combined Ops show on the 16th and 17th of August at the Headcorn Aerodrome in Ashford. So you need to go to www.combinedops.co.uk. Family tickets are available. Get along there.
Cool. The good folks at Live and Social have tweeted to say that they're listening to the Business Bunker show and enjoying the show. And Lisa has also tuned in and said, it's such a diverse show that we have here, speaking French earlier and now talking about all the things that are happening. And she started a hashtag, is it, or are they just mad? I think you're right there, Lisa.
He is. And Kent's broadband isn't up to speed, say the FSB. And it's a new report published by the Federation of Small Businesses is calling for the government to adopt much more ambitious targets for rolling out high-speed broadband for businesses across the UK. What we'll do, this is a huge press release here, so we will put details of this as a blog on the Kent Business Radio website after the show.
Yeah, there are people posting spurious photographs, allegedly of me, in various poses on various antiquated bicycling equipment.
Yes.
So I'm not getting involved in any of those tweets.
Do you want a penny farthing?
Yeah, I'm not getting involved in any of those tweets. They're all nonsense. We have 420 other tweets left to read and 5 minutes in which to do it, so I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, this is exciting. Gullens Employment just tweeted and they say, dear Jules Serkin and him, this might be the reason for the planes. RAF jets leave UK to carry out surveillance and airdrops to Iraq refugees.
Okay, well, that was who was flying over earlier.
Yeah, we thought it was Biggles.
Yeah. It was, in fact, him. Go Vicinity. Rob Parker has tweeted, Vanilla Web, that's me on the Twitter. Here's a picture of you and me powering the presentation at Fruitworks done by Wheely Groovy. And he's put a photograph up. So thank you for that, Rob.
That.
Yeah.
These guests are tucking into the chocolate cobnobs. They love them.
Chocolate cobnobs. They're biscuits cobnobs, aren't they? Or is that hobnobs?
Yes. Potash Farm. Yeah. Do you prefer the dairy, the milk or the dark?
There were
some biscuits as well somewhere. I think John Sykes has had them. 13th of August, you've got the North Kent Business Clinic, the benefits of being an FSB member, 5:15 to 6:30 at Dickens World in Leviathan Way, ME4 4LL. You could save pounds with a fuel card, get top tips on pensions and expert advice on tax. So that's a good one. And then what do SMEs want from Ebbsfleet Garden City? That's 8:30 to 11, Prince's Park, Dartford. If you're interested, you can join MP Gareth Johnson, Councillor Jeremy Kite, to discuss this. And that's 8:30 to 11 on the 12th of September. And all details on the Kent Business Radio website after the show.
There is going to be a huge public discussion on the potential of the Ebbsfleet new Garden City. I can't remember the date, which I should really, because I'm on the panel. But I can't remember the date, but we will let you know about it as that comes up.
Yeah, it is important, because if they don't have the infrastructure and the corner shops and the pubs and the village halls and a surgery, it's not going
to
work.
And all kinds of other things, yeah. I mean, they're looking at 40,000 houses there, so it's not small. Lee from Ancorians Football Club, great show on the Business Bunker today. Thank you, Jules and Paul. Ancorians Football Club runs free training for girls under six upwards, so please do visit their website, ancoriansfc.co.uk, to find out all about that. And Peter Wood on the Twitter, Peter
Wood what? Are you quite finished? Peter
Wood what? Well, I was about to tell you.
Go on.
But you interrupted me, normal.
Peter Wood,
known on the Twitter as @99Hawkeye99, says, hi, Vanilla Web and the team. It's too windy for flying. They take aerial photographs. It's too windy for us for flying today, so we're using our 24-metre mast. So we're actually listening to the show live for once. So thank you, Peter, and thank you for joining us. It's lovely to hear from you. Alimo Restaurant are listening in while they're cooking a nice Moroccan tagine. So thank you for that.
Marhaba, ehlen wa sehlen, kif hal agenta?
Yep, what she said.
Whitstable. Yeah. The best of Kent shows, East Kent B2B, free conference and exhibitions is the place to do business. This is Wednesday the 11th of September, so diary date. St Lawrence Cricket Ground, Canterbury. You will hear from Doug Richard, the dynamic entrepreneur from Dragon's Den. He's the keynote speaker, and also QJ, who is a presenter on Channel Radio.
On Biz HQ, yeah. Liz Gilson has tweeted in, thanks for a fantastic show. I've got to go. It's 9 a.m. and I've got to start work, because she's actually in New Jersey, obviously.
Jersey.
Yeah. So, Jill, thank you, Liz, thank you for listening in. It was absolutely lovely for you to join us.
She does a long... She gets up at 6 to listen to Scoff and Quaff.
Yeah, listens to us and then goes to work.
Yeah. What's you can't blame me getting up to listen to Scoff and Quaff, but this one...
Yeah, yeah. Kent and Surrey Breakfast Friends, just to let you know that Sevenoaks Breakfast Friends will now be run by a fab new person from the 19th of August. So fab, they're not even going to tell us who it is.
I know, I was thinking that.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Thank you for that, Sam. How about telling us who it is?
The Institute of Directors, DOC, 28th of August. What's ROC DOC? You are invited to join us for a drink after work and a seaside safari with Thanet's Rock Dock. So Rock Dock it is, sorry, not ROCDOC. Your member price is £10, non-member is £17. Sponsored by geologist and naturalist Alistair Bruce. It's our guide for the unique tour of Botany Bay near Broadstairs. Botany Bay, come on. Botany Bay.
Was that pirate?
Yeah.
Elizabethan or a really rubbishy Australian accent?
You're really good at pirate. Come
I'm really glad.
Botany Bay.
Come on, wench. Get on with the rest of it.
Botany Bay. Yeah, no, that's not pirate, isn't wench. You will never look at the... Ooh-ar. You will never look at the coastline in the same way again. There you go. That's a nice one. So that's Institute Directors, 28th of August.
There's a Women in Business lunch, and the guest speaker is Lisa Cutts, who is an award-winning crime author. That's on Tuesday the 23rd of September from 11.15 to 2.30 at the Chilston Park Hotel at Lenham. Award-winning crime writer, police officer herself, balancing time between her work and her writing, her debut book, Never Forget, won the Writers' Retreat competition in 2012 and has been optioned for a major TV drama. Well done, Lisa. Mm. Lisa will talk about writing and bringing the job home. The price of the lunch is £29.50 and it includes complimentary tea and coffee on arrival and a two-course lunch. If you want to book your space on the Women in Business lunch, it's www.bestbusinessevents.co.uk/networking events. So do check that out. There is a link on the Kent Business Radio website. And we are at the end of the show.
We are.
It's another show that we've completed. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker show. Coming up later on channelradio.co.uk at 3 o'clock, we have Extra Milk with Kevin Cann and his special guest, Mr. Freddie Parrotface Davis, which we're all looking forward to. At 5 o'clock, we have Craig Avery, the ladies' favourite, with his stripy socks. And then at 7 o'clock, Jonathan and Phil, birds, balls, bands and beer.
Down the pub with Jonathan and Phil.
And at 9 o'clock, the fantastic Mr. Jamie Andrews with the new Potato Show, 18 tracks of new, unsigned and up-and-coming music. Do stay tuned to channelradio.co.uk for the rest of today. But for the moment, you've been listening to me, Paul Andrews, and her, Jill Serkin, on the Business Bunker Show. We will be back with you next week.
Bye-bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.